Welcome to Zichron Dafsi. My name is Rabbi Avram Goldhari, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was Tanna Braisa that Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha said, Im Re'isa Dorish Etzaros Rabos Balsalav, if you see a generation upon which many troubles come upon it, say Ubdok B'dayani Yisrael, go and examine the deeds of the Jewish judges. Shekol Paranu Shebo Lolam, for all misfortune that comes to the world, Oba El B'Shvil Dayani Yisrael, comes only on account of the Jewish judges. The Braisa continues and says, Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechinaso Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not rest the divine presence on the Jewish people, Ad Sheyichu Shoftim V'Shotim Ram B'Yisrael, until there will cease to be corrupt judges and officers amongst them. And Ula said, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta El Bitztaka, Yerushalayim will not be redeemed except through charity, as it says in the Pasuk, Tzion B'Mishpat T'Padeh V'Shaveha Bitztaka, Tzion shall be redeemed through justice and her attorneys through charity. Point number two, Rabbi Malai said, "B'schar v'ra'achav v'samach b'yibo, in the merit of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu testified concerning Aaron, and he will see you, and he will rejoice in his heart. Zach l'choshen mishpat al ribo, Aaron merit to wear the choshen mishpat which was worn upon his heart." And point number three, the people of Bashkar sent three shilas to Levi, but by the time they arrived, Levi had passed away. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Menashe, "If you're sufficiently wise and know the answers, send them to them." In each case, he ruled stringently, Lefi she'enem b'nei Torah, because they were not b'nei Torah, and he was concerned that if they were given a lenient ruling, they'd become even more lenient. Their third question was, what's the law for burying a corpse in Yantav? He answered that neither Jews or non-Jews should be involved in the burial, neither on the first day or second day of Yantav. He answered them in a stringent way, but truly the halacha is that on the first day of Yantav, the corpse may be buried by a non-Jew, and on the second day of Yantiv, it may be buried even by a Jew. The reason why a Jew is permitted to bury the corpse on the second day is that since after the calendar was fixed, the second day was only the Rabbanan allowed it for the needs of the maize. So once again, the three points are number one. It was taught in the Brice that Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha said, Im Ra'isa Dorish Etzaros Rabos Baal Zalav, if you see a generation upon which many troubles come upon it, say Ubdok ben Ayani Yisrael, go and examine the deeds of the Jewish judges, Shekol Paranu Shebo Olam, for all misfortune that comes to the world, Oba El Bishvil Dayani Yisrael, comes only on account. The Braisa continues and says, Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashre Shechinaso Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not rest the divine presence on the Jewish people, Ad Sheyichu Shoftim V'Shotim Ram B'Yisrael, until there will cease to be corrupt judges and officers amongst them. Ula said, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta El Bitztaka, Yerushalayim will not be redeemed except through charity, as it says in the Pasuk, Tzion B'Mishpat T'Padeh V'Shaveha Bitztaka, Zion shall be redeemed through justice and her attorneys through charity. Point number two, Rabbi Malai said, B'schar v'ra'achav v'smach b'libo, in the merit of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu testified concerning Aaron, and he will see you, and he will rejoice in his heart. Zach l'choshen mishpat al ribo, Aaron merit to wear the choshen mishpat which was worn upon his heart. And point number three, the people of Bashkar sent three shalas to Levi, but by the time they arrived, Levi had passed away. Shmuel said to Menashe, if you're sufficiently wise and know the answers, send them to them. So in each case, he ruled stringently, Lefi she'enem b'nei Torah, because they were not b'nei Torah. He was concerned that if they were given a lenient ruling, they would become even more lenient. The third question was, what is the law for burying a corpse in Yantav? He answered that neither Jews or non-Jews should be involved in the burial, neither on the first day or second day of Yantav. He answered them in a stringent way, but truly the halacha is that on the first day of Yantav, the corpse may be buried by a non-Jew, and on the second day of Yantav, it may be buried even by a Jew. The reason why a Jew is permitted to bury a corpse on the second day is that since after the calendar was fixed, the second day was only the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan allowed it for the needs of the maize. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Kuf Lamed Tes, and there are a lot of different variations of this letter combination. We had cleats, kilt, kaltz, clout, ari miklat, colts, a colt 45. A number of people suggested a kalt litvak. Then we had bomb shelters like a miklat. We had the copper machine, collating papers. But I'm going to go with a very popular suggestion, which was clots, like a blood clot. Adam Bookman in Manchester suggested a phlebotomist drawing blood in terms of a blood clot. But I'm going to go with Sam Yusupov in Woodmere. Sam, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, who suggested a cardiologist treating a blood clot. So blood clot's going to be our sim, but I'm going to go with Sam's suggestion of a cardiologist and a blood clot on this one. So thank you very much, Sam, and thank you everybody for your suggestions. So here goes. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, or else it would be a burial on the second day of Yantav. Once again, in slow motion. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot, that must be Rondaf Kuvlamites. The cardiologist told the corrupt judge with the blood clot, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice that Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha said, Imra Isa Doris Shatsaras Rabos Balzalov, if you see a generation upon which many troubles come upon it, Tzei Ubdok B'Bedayana Yisrael, go and examine the deeds of the Jewish judges. Shekol Parano Shabal Olam, for all misfortune that comes to the world, while Ba El Bishvil Dayana Yisrael comes only on account of the Jewish judges. The Brice continues and says, Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinaso Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not rest his divine presence on the Jewish people, Ashiyichu Shoftim B'Shotim Ram Yisrael, until there will cease to be corrupt judges and officers amongst them. And it was said, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta El Bistaka, Yerushalayim will not be redeemed except through charities. It says in the Pasuk, Tzion B'Mishpat T'Padeh V'Shaveh El Bistaka, Tzion should be redeemed through justice and her attorneys through charity. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, which reminds us, Rabbi Malai said, B'schar b'racha b'samach b'libo, in the merit of that which Hashem testified concerning Aaron, and he will see you, and he will rejoice in his heart, zach l'choshem mishpat libo, Aaron merited to wear the choshem mishpat which was worn upon his heart. So the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, or else it would be a burial on the second day of Yontov. Which reminds the people of Bashkir sent three shallows to Levi, but by the time they arrived, Levi had passed away. Shmuel said to Rabbi Menashe, if you're sufficiently wise and know the answers, send them to them. So in each case, he ruled stringently, because they were not B'nai Torah, and he was concerned that if they're given a lenient ruling, they'd become even more lenient. Their third question was, what's the law for burying a corpse on Yontov? He answered that neither Jews or non-Jews should be involved in the burial, neither on the first day or second day of Yontov. He answered them in a stringent way, but truly the law is that on the first day of Yontov, the corpse may be buried by a non-Jew, and on the second day of Yontov, it may be buried even by a Jew. The reason why a Jew is permitted to bury the corpse on the second day is that since the calendar was fixed, the second day was only the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan allowed it for the needs of the mace. So once again, the cardiologist told the corrupt judge with a blood clot to straighten up and have a happy heart, or else it would be a burial on the second day of Yontov. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Chazara. Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, so the simon for Kuf Lamed Hey is Kola, so here goes. The cheap kosher brand Kola, that must mean run daf Kuf Lamed Hey. The cheap kosher brand Kola served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child born Mahul, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brice that teaches that the word Orla So, his foreskin, is coming to exclude several cases in which performing meal on Shabbos is not permitted. One of the cases is one who is born Mahul, circumcised. The brice states that Beis Shammai holds that one who is born Mahul still requires Hatafas Dam, the drawing of blood, whereas Beis Hillel does not. Rashi explains that Beis Shammai requires Hatafas Dam because perhaps the baby has an oral kavusha, a suppressed orla. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that a child born Mahul requires Hatafas Dam. They disagree in the case of a ger who converted when he was already circumcised. Beis Shammai requires Hatafas Dam, and Beis Hillel does not. In this case, there is no concern of an oral kavusha. The Hatafas Dam here represents a symbolic act of entering the bris. So the cheap kosher brand Kola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the child born Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi stated a rule, Koshi imo tamei aleidan nimo shmona. Any newborn whose mother becomes tamei due to childbirth is circumcised on the eighth day. But koshi ein imo tamei aleida ein nimo shmona. While any newborn whose mother does not become tamei due to childbirth, for example, a woman who had a cesarean birth, is not circumcised on the eighth day, but rather on the first day. He learns it from the juxtaposition of the pasuk, Isha ki zazria v'yalda zachar v'tama. When a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be tamei, with the pasuk, V'yomashmini yemo basar alaso, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So the cheap kosher brand Kola, served in abundance at the Hatafas Dam for the childborn Mahul, was left over from the first day C-section bris for the cute little Eva Kanani baby. Which reminds us, a brice is brought that discusses when the meal for a baby Eva Kanani is performed and distinguishes between a Yilid Bais, a child born to a Shifchu who is the property of a Jewish master, and a Mikne Kes of a slave that was purchased. According to the Tanakhama, if one bought a Shifcha who was pregnant at the time, and she later gave birth to a boy, this is a case of a Mikne Kesef that is circumcised on the eighth day. If one bought the Shifcha and her child along with her, then this is a case of a Mikne Kesef that is circumcised on the first day. If one bought a Shifcha and she became pregnant while in his possession and gave birth, this is a case of a Yilid Bais, a slave that is born in the house, who is circumcised on the eighth day. The Gemara later on discusses the fourth case of Yilid Bais that is circumcised on the first day. Rav Chama disagrees and has a different understanding of these four cases. Daf Kuflamid Vav. So the symbol for Kuflamid Vav is a clue. So here goes. The clue. Clue. That must mean we're on Daf Kuflamid Vav. The clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the Moyo who claimed he was just cutting meat, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa on Daf Kuflamid Hey Amid Beis, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that any human newborn that survives for 30 days is not suspected of being a nepha, a non-viable child. As the Pasuk states regarding the mitzvah of redeeming a Bechor, those that are to be redeemed, you shall redeem from the age of a month. The Gemara questions this ruling since this implies that we doubt the viability of a child less than 30 days old. And if so, we should be prohibited from performing a meal on Shabbos for fear that the newborn might be a nepha, which does not have a mitzvah of mila. Rav Avada Bar Ava answered that Shabbos is not violated no matter what status we give the child. Im chayhu shapar kamal. If he is a viable child, then it was proper to have the meal on Shabbos. Im lav mechatuk babasuhu. And if not, one is merely cutting meat when he circumcises it, which does not violate Shabbos. So the clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the moyel claimed he was just cutting meat turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother, which reminds us. If an infant who was the sole surviving child of his dead father died within 30 days of his birth, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that we are concerned that the newborn was a nepha, and therefore it's a possibility that his wife had no children from the deceased husband, and she cannot get married until she does Yibum or Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, what if this baby's mother went ahead and became a kudeshes, betrothed to a man, even though she was not allowed to, as the baby might have been a nepha? Ravina said in the name of Rava, if she was mekudeshes to Yisrael, who's permitted to marry a woman who has undergone chalitza, then we tell her now to do chalitza. However, if she was mekudeshes to a kohen, whom the rabban is not permitted to marry a chalitza, we do not make her undergo chalitza because then she would become forbidden to her husband. Rashi explains that in this case of the kohen, we rely on the opinion of the rabban who disagree with Rabban Shimon Gamliel and do not question the viability of a newborn less than 30 days old. Rav Shirvi in the name of Rava said that in both cases the woman must undergo chalitza, since the halacha follows Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. So the clue in the case of the missing 8-day-old infant turned up when the moyel claimed he was just cutting meat turned out to be a kohen betrothed to the mother and wasn't a definite male. Which reminds us, a malchokas is introduced in the Mishnah Daf Kuflamid Dalet Amud Beis whether one performs mila for an androgynous on Shabbos. Which reminds us, a malchokas was introduced in the Mishnah on Daf Kuflamid Dalet Amud Beis whether one performs mila for an androgynous on Shabbos. The Rabban forbidden Rabbi Yehuda permits it because he holds that an androgynous is a male. Rav Shivzi said in the name of Chissa that Rabbi Yehuda does not consider an androgynous a definite male in all cases. For it was taught in a brisa in the Sifra, a collection of brises on Sefer Vayikra, that only a zachar vada and a kev vadais, a definite male and a definite female, bring an erech vow, not a tumtum or androgynous. And stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, an anonymous brisa in the Sifra reflects a view of Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Kuflamid Zayin, so the symbol for Kuflamid Zayin is a closet, so here goes. The embarrassed father hid in the closet. Closet, that must mean run Daf Kuflamid Zayin. The embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby. Which reminds us, the next mission in the Perek states that if one had two infants to circumcise, one who turns 8 days old after Shabbos and the other turns 8 days old on Shabbos, and he forgot which one was which and he circumcised the one due after Shabbos on Shabbos, he's chai for being machal Shabbos b'shogeg. Rashi explains that he was taught b'dvar mitzvah v'lo as a mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah but didn't actually do a mitzvah. Instead, he wounded the baby on Shabbos and therefore he's liable achatas for chovel, for wounding. If one infant turns 8 days old on Erev Shabbos and one turned 8 days old on Shabbos and he switched them and did the one who turned 8 days old on Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, Rabbi Yezer says he's chai v'achatas, Rabbi Yeshua says he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Ezra, even though he did the mitzvah of mila, doing mila for an infant over 8 days old is not Tocha Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua, however, holds that he was tabed var mitzvah, vasa mitzvah. He was occupied in doing a mitzvah, and he did do the mitzvah of mila, and therefore he's exempt. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris would have been on the 12th day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, that it's possible for a child to have meal performed on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th day, but not earlier or later. The meal is on the 9th if he was born Ben Hashmashos. It's on the 10th if he was born on Ben Hashmashos of Erev Shabbos. It's on the 11th if, in the previous case, the day after Shabbos is Yantav, and then on the 12th if the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah follow Shabbos. So the embarrassed father hid in the closet after he realized the meal was done on Shabbos for the wrong baby, whose bris should have been on the 12th day, and no one could find him when it came time for the bracha. Which reminds us that Bryce records the various brachas and tefillahs which were recited at Bris. The Mo'el makes the bracha on Hamila, on the circumcision. The Aviyah Ben makes the bracha, L'achniso b'vriso sh'avim avinu. Those standing there respond, K'shem sh'niknas of bris, ken yechanas l'toro chup ma'isim tovim. Just as he has entered the bris, so may he enter the Torah chuppah and the performance of good deeds. And then someone appointed makes the bracha, Asher kiddush yetet mibeten, who is sanctified, the beloved one from the womb. Rashi explains that this is referring to Yitzchak, who was sanctified in the womb for this mitzvah, since the year before his birth, Avram was told to circumcise his son. Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. So the symbol for Kuf Lamed Ches is maror stalks. So here goes. The man pouring crushed maror stalks, that must be more on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches. The man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer, which reminds the opening mission of the 20th parak on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, introduced some halachos regarding pouring into a suspended strainer. Rabbi Yehuda said that one may pour into the strainer even on Shabbos and certainly on Yantav, while the Chachamim hold that one may not pour into the strainer on Shabbos, but may pour into it on Yantav. The Gemara seeks to clarify which of malacha one must warn someone with who's about to strain wine on Shabbos, according to the Chachamim who forbid it. Rabbi says it's more reasonable to say borer, for just as borer involves taking the food and leaving the undesired matter behind, so to hear, straining wine takes the food and leaves the undesired matter behind. Rabbi Zera says it's more reasonable to say meraket, sifting, for just as sifting results in the undesired matter remaining on top while the food falls below, so too straining wine results in the undesired dregs remaining on top of the strainer with the wine below. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into the suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly, which reminds the Gemara notes a contradiction between Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Idi, who states that a felt hat, a siyana, is permitted to be worn on Shabbos, and a brisa that states it's prohibited to wear it. The Gemara concludes that Rav Sheshes was dealing with a hat that is fitted tightly, whereas the brisa was referring to a hat that was loose. Since there's a concern that a loosely fit hat could fall off, the Rabbanim prohibited wearing it lest one comes to carry it, Dalet Amos, in Rishus HaRabim. So the man pouring crushed maror stalks and maror juice into suspended strainer tied his felt hat on very tightly because he heard it says the Gula to not forget the Torah in the future. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brights that when the Rabban entered Karen B'Yavin, they said, Asita Torah shitishtachach mi Yisrael, the Torah will eventually be forgotten from Yisrael. As it stated, Hine yamim baim nu Hashem elkim v'shalachti ra'abars, behold, days are coming, declares Hashem, that I will send a hunger into the land. Lo ra'ab l'lechem, lo tzam l'maim kim l'shmo as divrei Hashem. Not a hunger for bread and not a thirst for water, but to hear the words of Hashem. It was taught in a different brisa. The Hashem Yechai says, Chas v'sham shetish tachach Torah Yisrael. Heaven forbid the Torah will be forgotten from Yisrael. As it says, Ki lo tishachach mi pizarot, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouth of the nation's offspring. He interprets a nevuah from Amos, which states, they shall wander to seek the word of Hashem, but shall not find it, to mean that they will not find halacha berurah b'mishnah berurah b'makom echad. Clear halacha and clear teachings in one place. Rashi explains that halacha berurah, clear halacha, means a consensus of the reasons behind various rulings. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions. Maseches Brachos, number 1. We should have to learn what the din is regarding burial on Yantav. That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Tes. Good, number 2. Which Duff leave a melchok is regarding which malacha one is violating for straining wine on Shabbos. That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Ches. Good, number 3. Which stuff do you learn what is done if a woman becomes Mekudeshes after her less than 30-day-old infant died? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Vav. Good, number 4. Which stuff do you learn that because Aaron was happy to see Moshe Rabbeinu, he was zochet to wear the Choshen Mishpat? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Ches. Good, number 5. Which stuff do you have a question if Hatafas Dam is done for a child born Mahul? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Hey. Good, number 6. Which stuff do you learn that one can crush cumin for a bris on Yantav? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Daled. Good, number 7. Which stuff do you learn according to Rabbi Yehuda that androgynous is not a Zachar Vadai in all regards? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Vav. Good, number 8. Which stuff do you learn that tzaras come in the world because of corrupt judges? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Tes. Good, number 9. Which stuff do you learn that one should delay a bris if the baby is reddish or yellow? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Daled. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we discuss where the Torah will be forgotten in the future? That's on Duff. Kuf Lamed Ches. Good. And now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff do we learn that Hashem gets angry for a rega every day? That's on Duff. Zayin. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn that one should be marich the echad in Shema for Arichas Yamim? That's on daf Yid Gimel. Good. And final question number three, which daf do we learn that one can learn if there's a reach rosh she'ein wal ikar from someone else? That's on daf Kafe. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. Plus the three bonus questions of Maseches Brachas. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldberg from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.